Hey, you guys, and welcome to episode 51 of the Insiders on Real Estate and Marketing. I'm your host, Sandy Hibbard. And today, my very special host here, Mark Miller, is with us. And we have a great show lined out and timely for me especially. And that is a show we're going to talk about real estate, senior real estate relocation and estate planning with our guest Renee Quigley. And Renee is here all the way from Washington, Keller Williams, Columbia Basin.
Correct.
So she's going to lead us in a great discussion today. We're going to do a deep dive on all things senior and real estate and estate planning, and hopefully she's going to answer some of your questions. But before we take off in that direction, let's get an update on the market from Mark.
Hi.
Hi, you.
TGIF.
Yeah, TGIF, that's right.
Well, we had a good first quarter. I was really encouraged, compared to, certainly by to the fourth quarter last year. But we've also had now the little tick up in interest rates, and you can you can just see the contracts kind of go whoop.
Yeah.
As soon as that happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they stop, but they just, it has an impact to qualifying. We have the good fortune of having numerous good investor accounts. They're all cash players. Mm-hmm. So that really doesn't have a bearing on them, if you will, to that side. But, you know, I'm always happy that we have a balance because we have a commercial operation. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten a little bit of a resurgence in this month in commercial transactions. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of land transactions. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people that are,
what's going on there?
Well, they're just teeing up their properties after, you know, after owning land for however many years. Mm-hmm. And deciding this is a good time to sell, and they're correct. Mm-hmm. And it's mainly northern Collin County, now moving into Grayson County, towards Sherman, et cetera. So we've gotten some really nice transactions in on that side, which now when you see a land sale, it's not buy and hold. They have a development strategy in place. Mm-hmm. So we think we're going to pick that up as well.
What is the deal, though, on, you know, we have, is it because interest rates have been so low for so long that people now have sticker shock? You know,
well,
when interest rates were 7%, 8%, and 9%?
We just plowed right through it.
I know. It's like people are just.
Well, I think we're past the sticker shock. What we have is this offsetting. As rates are rising, so is property value. Mm-hmm. So you're not getting a declining property value as rates rise. Yeah. And even if you went at other points in time when rates were at 7-8%, let's go back a decade or maybe more.
Houses were a lot less expensive.
The pricing of housing was much less expensive. So it was not as big of a shock as it is now when you have, you know, $500,000, $600,000 medium home prices in some of our marketplaces.
Right. And that 1% tick up makes a huge difference in your monthly payment.
So you've got a lot of interesting environmental factors, I'll call them, at play that almost seem to be a monthly variable to them. I mean, we can't really get on one particular highway and go, okay, finally, we're a little stable right now. Let's go cruise control. Because then something environmentally happens that challenges our industry, whether it's rate or structure or the broker commission issue that we went through. All of those things are impactful in some way to seller concessions, buy downs, whatever it may be. So you sort of have this adjusting mechanism that you kind of get excited when you say, okay, everything seems to be pretty good right now, but you're kind of looking out over your
I know.
So it's really interesting. But anyhow, but we're fine, and thankfully, as Texas is, we are a huge relocation community, and people keep moving here, and, you know.
I mean, it seems like everything's growing, and like what
you're
telling us, the commercial side tends to be moving.
We'll be fine. So anyhow, but before we even got on the show, we got into some great discussions with Renee. I mean, this is gonna,
I'm
really excited
show.
About this conversation.
Me too.
Because this is, to me, is so relevant. I mean, we start talking about, you know, we are one, you know, I'm baby boomers, and I'm in my late 60s, and
We're getting older, which means our parents are getting older.
Yep. And this is really becoming more, in my opinion, more and more of a relevant topic. And so I'm really happy to have Renee with us today.
Me too.
She did journey all the way in from Washington, and fortunately we had the budget to fly her here, but
thank you to our sponsor,
thank you to Secured Title of Texas. Secured Title of Texas. She came in on the company plane, so hopefully we'll get her back. But
Renee, joking, totally.
Yeah.
Renee, your people in Kansas are like, yeah, they're right. Out right now. Well, they're like, wait.
They actually do have a plane, but they don't ever let me use it. But anyhow, she's been in this journey of senior care in terms of this focus back many years ago to New York Life, and she was delved in long-term care coverage, and that kind of ignited her passion for it. And she's got a background in financial planning
and
heart for compassion. Brings 5 years of experience with Keller Williams. She was recognized when getting into that space, just really kind of just navigating for what that perfect segue into real estate. Mm-hmm. Rookie of the Year, and she's earned multiple awards there. And so she's
she gets up at 5 a.m.
and she gets up early in the morning.
Come on,
so
4:15.
I'm sorry, 4:15. She's going to get a lot done.
Right. Yeah. But her whole focus is about enriching the lives and empowering the seniors and working with families in this transitional discussion and strategy, because I think it really is a strategy. So and there's a designation for it. It's the Senior Relocation Specialist. And if you haven't gotten one of those and you're in our market, I'd strongly recommend you consider the importance of that. So let's just jump in and talk a little bit about that. And so maybe let's just start, Renee. How do you see this specialty different from just your traditional real estate practitioner, I'll call them?
Okay, well, it really is a niche. And, you know, just to give you a little bit of data, a little bit of information, which you probably already know, but there are, on average, 15,000 baby boomers retiring every single day for the next 15 years. Wow. So this is going to be a really relevant conversation and a relevant topic for a long time to come. What I love about working with seniors and the approach that we use is that it's a very holistic approach. This is not a, you know, give you a call, hey, are you thinking about selling? Can I list your house? Kind of a conversation. This really is, it really is a strategic conversation that we have with our seniors to find out, number one, you know, what are your goals for retirement and beyond? And what do you already have in place? You know, do you have long-term care insurance? Do you have your will drafted? Has, and when was the last time it was drafted? Because it might need to be amended. It might need to be updated. And to do that, the it's called a codicil. And it's just an amendment to update your wishes, because maybe some of the people that you intended to bless in your will or through your trust.
My favorite daughter-in-law is no longer with us.
Yes, exactly. Maybe they've already
passed. She's living in New York somewhere.
There you go. There you go. So any number of things could have happened, right? So we want to know, you know, what is already in place and who it involves, so that we can help to identify maybe what the chinks in the armor are, so that when that triggering event happens, we can fill those gaps.
Now, if you're approaching your leads like that, how are you getting those leads of senior people?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And so a lot of them, you know, to quote Wayne Gretzky, you have to play where the puck is, right? So you got to go where the seniors are. We do a lot of informational and educational seminars for the senior community and their families. We participate in expos. You know, we have relationships with a lot of different service providers that work with seniors that sometimes are, you know, they're the boots on the ground, and they're usually the first person, whether it be they're starting to maybe interview caregivers, you know, for in-home services or whatever. You know, so having those kinds of relationships in place so that when they notice they're at a pivot point where they need to start making decisions, we're the ones that they call.
Do you notice in Washington, where you are in your niche up there, are there a lot of seniors there? So once you get known as this person who can lead and direct them, do you have a good response to your educational seminars?
Oh, absolutely.
And how are you conducting those? I think that's really key.
Well, so the seminars are broken up because not only am I a real estate senior real estate specialist. I'm also a real estate planner. Mm-hmm. So my training goes a little bit deeper than just senior relocation. Mm-hmm. It's understanding, you know, senior living options and what they are, how they're going to pay for them, mm-hmm. Which means that we need to understand the way that Medicare and Medicaid, mm-hmm. you know, reimburse and what their limitations are. Mm-hmm. We also have working knowledge of wills, trusts. I'm a probate specialist as well, so I specialize in the probate process.
Super important.
It wow. really is.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we also have working knowledge and a very in-depth understanding of 1031 exchange and Delaware statutory trusts, because one of the things that seniors always want to do, of course, they want to retire on their own terms, and they don't want to give the government more than they have to, you know, with taxes. And so having that knowledge is extremely important as well, to kind of partner with their financial planner and their CPA to find out what's going to be the best strategies for them. Mm-hmm. But it really is a consultative approach. And you're right, when we sit down with them and they see the level of questions that we ask, mm-hmm. they see the more of the consultative approach, and that I am not tied to this outcome. I want what's best for my client,
sure. yeah.
not what's best for me.
Right,
right. Right. And so when they see that, and then when their adult children see the care and the compassion and the time mm-hmm. that you take to work mm-hmm. with their clients or with their parents, they're more than happy to refer you to mm-hmm. other friends that are going through the same thing with their
yeah,
parents.
Exactly.
And of course, the senior is happy to pass your name around like a party favor with their friends.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when they find someone that they can
but
trust.
You almost got to position yourself. I say unintentionally because your objective is helping,
mm-hmm.
but you kind of become a trusted real estate advisor to the whole family.
Absolutely.
Right? So it doesn't. So the senior side is the objective, but mm-hmm. the outcome could be that the younger people could have needs in real estate opportunity,
right.
and therefore they trusted you on how you helped their parents, and mm-hmm. they're naturally mm-hmm. going to think of you as well. So it's a really,
yeah.
and that could be, you know, I have closings all the time
uh-huh.
where you see that you talk to the realtor and I sold her parents, I sold their daughter, I mm-hmm. sold the granddaughter. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's sort of like once you get inside of that family
right.
and they really have that trust of you, that's a really nice
yeah.
place
well,
for fulfilling.
That's very
it's,
key.
It's a generational impact.
Correct.
Yeah.
And even more important, it's a legacy that the senior, the grandparent, you know, leaves behind. They leave behind this legacy, not just of how they set their family up for best financial outcome, but also just how it's impacting generations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how that relationship impacts generations.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, when you're caring for your parent and you don't know the road that is
right.
ahead, it's a whole new thing. This is your mama, this is your daddy, and they're
mm-hmm.
supposed to be strong, and they're supposed to be the one with all the answers. So being able to get recommendations
mm-hmm.
from that expert, I think is crucial. I know for us to have, my family to have recommendations, not only on real property and what to do with all
mm-hmm.
of that, but, you know, what happens if mom needs a step up in care? What if she needs a new facility
mm-hmm.
or things like that? So
mm-hmm.
do you get involved in all of that plethora of recommending? And if so, how in the world do you do that
yeah.
and keep
well,
up with it
well,
all?
Well, we absolutely do, because really the bottom line is that we want to be a trusted, reliable resource
yes.
for them. And so to do that, it means that I have to do my research.
Yeah.
So I need to go out into the community and see, you know, and visit all of the senior communities
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they're not all made the same. You know,
mm-hmm.
just because it's a senior community, are they independent living?
Yes.
Can they transition to assisted?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have in-home care
mm-hmm.
or do they allow it to come in?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if, you know, mom or dad or Lord forbid both of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, develop some kind of cognitive condition
mm-hmm.
where they need, you know, memory care?
Right.
Can that community transition from
yeah.
A all the way to Z for them? And so doing the extensive research on that and interviewing the communities, learning about what it is that they offer, how they offer it, makes a huge difference because, again, they're not all the same.
Right.
And sometimes it really isn't a matter of that mom and dad need a community
mm-hmm.
to go into a community. By the way, you never call them facilities.
Or a right? home.
Yeah, or a home. That's the F word, okay, yeah. to that industry. So you don't want to do that. Don't be doing that.
Right. No, that's so true.
But finding the right fit for them, mm-hmm. you know, because every community has its own culture. It has its own sense of, of mm-hmm. community. Mm-hmm. And so you want to help guide and direct them in a way mm-hmm. that is going to make it easy for mm-hmm. mom and dad to say yes mm-hmm. and let them think that it's their idea.
Now that's a whole different bowl of information that's needed for someone who's going to put their parent into mm-hmm. a facility. But mm-hmm. then you've got over here the kids who are attempted to take care of their parents mm-hmm. who might be, onset dementia mm-hmm. and physically disabled or what have you. Now what kind of services and offerings do you have for that person who's caring for their mom or father at home?
Mm-hmm. So again, we partner with several other external service providers. So maybe mom and dad, their decision is that they want to age in place. Mm-hmm. So, okay, now we need to talk about what does that look like?
Yeah.
Do we need to retrofit the home?
Yeah, a big step right
that's
there.
That's a huge step, because a lot of homes.
Is there a wheelchair involved?
Yeah, exactly. You know, what kind of additional equipment durable medical equipment do we need to accommodate for mm-hmm. right? So if your hallways aren't wide enough, if your doorways aren't wide enough, then the aging at home might not be the right option because mm-hmm. there are going to be more barriers mm-hmm. to aging at home than there would be to go into a mm-hmm. community.
Well, there also could be the additional factor of real estate itself in mm-hmm. that what's the value of the asset, what's the debt on the asset.
Yes. Right.
Like when I looked at my father wanted to stay in the home, I made mm-hmm. those arrangements, but the house was free and clear.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I knew if we got further down the road, if I needed to, I could address a reverse mortgage.
Right, right.
Either a line of credit or actual mortgage. If I needed to get cash mm-hmm. to and part of his care,
right.
as we went along that way. So that, again, falls into a nice pathway for you for evaluation of the value of the mm-hmm. house, et cetera, and the debt structure that might be.
Exactly. And a lot of times what we find is, we'll do what's called an equity analysis or a current, market analysis of the home to see what that equity position is. And especially if they want to age in place at home. But then we evaluate that every 90 days because their condition is going to change, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, today's the best condition that they're going to be in for today. Mm-hmm. And so as that condition changes, we want to be looking at that equity analysis, every 90 days or so, and then educate and update both the homeowner and their adult children about that situation mm-hmm. so that they can decide, okay, at what point do we need to talk about either taking out a reverse mortgage? And if you do that, I would highly encourage a HECM just because it is FHA endorsed. And you cannot get upside down in it.
Right.
They will. You cannot get upside down.
A HECM.
Yeah. Okay. And so we want to look at that. So maybe it's a HECM or a reverse mortgage of some type. Maybe it's just pulling out equity. A little bit of equity, not all mm-hmm. of it. And again, it just depends on how they want to age, and how they want to pay for that. Mm-hmm. Do we want to age in place at home? Great. Again, let's assess what we need. Do we need to retrofit the home? What kind mm-hmm. of care do we need? If family members are going to be, supplementing care, but maybe not for the middle of the night. So maybe we need to look at a service that's going to provide overnight, mm-hmm. Care, mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to toilets, or toileting, transferring, eating, those kinds of things. What kind of assistance are they going to need? Mm-hmm. Because all of those different levels all cost a little bit more money.
Yeah,
and the more care that's provided, the more expensive it becomes. Mm-hmm. I don't know about, here in Texas, but in Washington State, round the clock care for mom and dad could be as little as $6,000 a month and as much as $12,000.
It's incredibly expensive.
So how's that going to get paid
right.
for?
That's crazy.
It really is. It is. But when you think about the skill set of the service that's being provided, or the person that's providing the service, and just the
impact it makes on them physically, let alone you physically, right?
A lot of family members will like, oh, well, we'll take care of mom and dad. And they don't realize the physical, the emotional, and the financial toll it takes on you. Because you might have to take, you know, a leave of absence, you know, from your job. And maybe you're not going to be compensated while you're gone, while you're away from work. So all of those things have to be looked at when we're making these decisions.
Well, the other thing is mom and dad may not be 5 blocks away. They may be 150 miles away, or my dad was 80 miles away. And now he's got a medical requirement. Or, I mean, there's a lot of things that come into play with that. What, from a documentation standpoint, what's your experience on a percentage basis, if you were to guess, of as families of you start your process, have actual wills, you know, documentation, and probably I'm going to bet that's a low percentage. But the second thing is, I'm going to bet that the children have no idea what their parents have or do not have.
Well, and that's very true, because you're coming from a post-depression generation, okay, where you don't talk about those things. Yeah. You know, you don't know what assets mom and dad have, because that's private information, right? So I will tell you that according to the National Bar Association, less than 40% of all Americans have a will.
Wow.
Less than 40%.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing that people don't understand is that it doesn't matter if you died with a will, which is testate, or without a will, which is intestate. If you do not have those things, you're going through probate.
I was going to say, why are the probate courts clogged?
Yeah. You're going to go through probate, whether they have a will or they don't have a will.
Right.
The only way you're going to avoid that is, there's only two ways to avoid it. Either number one, at least in Washington State, the value of the estate with all holdings, okay, so personal property, real property, does not include stocks, bonds, because those have their own beneficiary designations.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So when you look at the estate, if it's valued under $100,000, which is considered a small estate, then you don't have to go through probate. But if you have value over $100,000, you have to go through the probate process unless you have a trust. Now, probates are a matter of public record. Trusts are private. Okay.
Do you know if that's the same, Oklahoma, Texas?
I don't know, but I would assume probably.
Yeah, it's pretty universal.
Yeah.
Trusts are specifically.
I mean, common strategy.
Yeah, they really are. And most people, like my parents, you know, they have what's called a testamentary trust, which means they have a will, and then on when the last one of them dies, whether my mom or dad dies, you know, last, or they both die at the same time, then it converts to a trust, okay? And then it'll become private. But most people don't even have a simple will drafted.
Yeah.
And that's so negligible, because your will and or your trust, this is the last love letter to your family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is how you help your family stay together after you've passed.
Mm-hmm.
I often tell people that, you know, once mom and dad have passed, whichever one is last to go, they are like the Holy Spirit. And that they're keeping the family together, they're keeping all the glue together, they're keeping the
children. That's really true.
Yeah, and they're keeping the children from fighting, right? As soon as they're gone, the restrainer is gone, and now the fighting is gonna come about. And it's usually never about money. I mean, on the face of it, it'll look like it, but it's usually not about the money. It's usually about the thing that you did to me when I was 5 years old that hurt my feelings and then compounded over the rest of our lives.
He always liked you better.
Exactly, exactly, right? So if you want to ensure that your family still loves each other after you're gone, then you want to make as many decisions proactively as you can before
That's
you
such
go.
Such good advice.
Well,
such
the other part of those documentations are power of attorney, directives.
Right.
Things of that nature, as any of those progressions may begin to occur.
Right.
What do we do? You know, how do we manage mom and dad into whatever we're going, and what is their desires? You know, whether it's a DNR, do not resuscitate, or those type.
All of that.
Yeah.
It has to be communicated.
Correct.
Well, and that's just it.
Yeah.
You need to know in advance.
Yes, and like you're saying, that post-depression generation, they didn't talk. And dad, he died in 2017 at 84. And he had all this spelled out. He's the one who put the living will in place, the trust, everything. And we knew nothing.
Yeah.
All we knew is that he left everything to mom. Okay.
So everybody goes about their business. And then years later, I think it was like 2 years ago, mm-hmm. we find out somebody, I don't know who it was in my family, decided, well, let's just read the will. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this is supposed to happen, and this is supposed to happen, and that's supposed to happen. And all of a sudden, I find out what
and
my role is, and
yeah.
Bruce finds out what his role is, and we're going, oh my gosh, why didn't he tell us
yeah,
this?
Why didn't he
and why
us?
Didn't an attorney tell us this?
Right.
Not even the attorney told us this.
Yeah. Well,
so then we were scrambling to try to make up for the mistakes that we had made
right.
after Daddy died mm-hmm. that he had put in place for mother's care now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A mess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's assumed, a lot of times attorneys assume that the family has been made part of the conversation
yeah.
and has been brought up to speed on what mom and dad want.
Attorneys, don't assume that.
Yeah, don't, don't.
No.
And don't assume that you know explicitly what mom and dad's final wishes were.
Right,
because
right? Dad kept it so private.
Yeah.
It was like it was his secret. We couldn't, I never could figure out that out.
Right.
Why are you
right.
making this such a secret? You know, mm-hmm. shouldn't we know? But it's that generation. I've never heard anybody
yeah.
say that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so it is important, and communication is very important. The earlier you start, the earlier that you can, you know, sit down with mom and dad and determine, okay, so
excellent.
what does retirement and beyond look like for
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
You know, what is plan A and mm-hmm. what is plan Z? Right? And if we don't have a plan, then as a family, we need to sit down and develop a plan. Because what I've experienced is that an informed family mm-hmm. is a harmonious family.
I love that.
70% of all probates fail because of family disharmony.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good place to stop, because that is, to me, the message of this show is that you must communicate mm-hmm. a family that is communicating and aware, and where full disclosure is happening,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be more harmony.
Yeah,
I love that.
Absolutely.
Well, we've run out of time, unfortunately.
Darn.
I know. So
we talk about this all day long.
I know.
Long.
We can go for an hour.
So,
we need to have you
though,
back for a seminar.
I know. That's a good point. That's a very good point. I want you to think about three things you want to leave the audience with.
Mm-hmm.
While Mark will go first and give his three takeaways.
Okay.
But it gives you a chance to sum things up
okay.
with 3 points here in just
okay.
a second. But wow, this has been something that's really hit us. I know.
Oh yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on the other side of this because my
yeah,
mother and father
are
already deceased, and
mm-hmm.
I'm an only child. So,
mm-hmm.
but you know, all of these conditions we're talking about, eventually we see at the closing table
right.
of one form
mm-hmm.
or another
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
that side, or deals blow up because they can't get to the closing table.
Yeah.
But so I think some things that just kind of pop up is. And to the first point of my question about the percentage is documentation.
Okay.
And what is the documentation trail that they have?
Mm-hmm.
So asking that question of your parents
mm-hmm.
Might be difficult, but it's something that probably you should be doing sooner than later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So determine what the documentation is. Consultation with somebody like Renee
yeah.
or and probably within that a legal side as well, because
mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's attorneys that are good in those
mm-hmm.
spaces, combining to those things, and then seeking out education.
Mm-hmm.
How can I get more educated about this process I'm going to have to deal with wills and trust and probates
mm-hmm.
and things of that nature? Because I think the key, this whole thing is so interesting. There is a moment in time when you suddenly are no longer the child and you become the parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who knows when you can judge when that's actually going to occur,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it does,
you
better have all the things I just mentioned and
mm-hmm.
other things we've talked about
mm-hmm.
lined up, because you're gonna suddenly no longer be sitting in the back seat, you're gonna have hold of the steering wheel.
Right,
and,
no.
And so, you know, it's a really interesting paradigm, and I went through that with my mom passed first and my father. And I had to do those things with my dad and
mm-hmm.
And have those kind of conversations and be the parent and direct
mm-hmm.
him,
mm-hmm.
those type of things. So you got to make sure you're well documented so that you can get through that process.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of my thoughts.
Excellent. Excellent. What are your takeaways, Renee?
Well, I think, you know, to number one, conversation, communication with your family is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're approaching mom and dad, you know, one of the best ways to approach them on this is to say, you know, mom, dad, because you have said that this is how you want to retire. This is what retirement and beyond looks like for you. You want to age in place at home. You want to do whatever it is that you want to do. Because you have said these things, it's really important that I and my siblings understand what's in place
and what maybe needs to be updated. So we
Great
need
point.
To look at what your plan is, right? So that's number one. Number two, I agree, education is really important. Now, as a real estate planner, I offer a myriad of different types of seminars that adult children can attend and the parent can attend. I think for adult children, the number one seminar that you want to seek out in your community is called Moving Mom and Dad. And it's handling the transition with care and compassion. Okay, so it teaches you how to have these conversations, the signs that you need to be looking for, so that when that light bulb moment goes off, when you realize, okay, mom and dad can no longer make these decisions, you can take the ball and run with it. Mm-hmm. So that's number two. And then I think number three, you know, take this as a learning opportunity, what you go through with your mom and dad as you're coming up with their plan, mm-hmm. or creating this plan, to develop your own, mm-hmm. and make sure that your adult children, mm-hmm. know what you have in place, where the documentation can be found. I don't make any money for this, but I would encourage you go look at knoxbox.com. It's knoxbox.com. And this is a place where they provide all kinds of tools for you to be able to have all of your important documents in one place.
Nice. Okay.
So though you're not having to do the scavenger hunt.
A cloud-based depository.
Right, yeah. But it's actually both cloud-based and it's tangible.
Yeah.
And they offer a fireproof box.
But you're not running around trying to find all your documents.
Yeah, it's all in one spot, right? And so get your plan in place as well. Make sure that the people that you know and love know what the plan is, where they can find the documentation, who are all the parties that are involved. You know, who's the attorney, who's the CPA, who's the financial planner. Make sure that they know. And then find yourself a trusted, reliable realtor like myself, a real estate planner, or someone who is also a senior relocation specialist to help you along this journey, because we have a very different tool set and skill set than your traditional realtor does.
Well, and I would say kudos to Kathy Crouch for introducing us to you, and she would
we'll
be the
Kathy
local.
Here.
Kathy would be your local
your
resource.
Local resource here, but she, I know why she wanted you here, because your knowledge is beyond anything I've experienced. So I'm just so happy that you joined us today.
Well,
it's
I am
super good.
So thrilled to get
super
to be
good.
Here. Again, it's unfortunate that Kathy couldn't, but I'm so blessed to be here. And thank you for this opportunity.
It's
and
been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure to have you. You know, I'm going through this right now with my own mom. Dad died. I've gone through with him. Our whole family suffers because of where mom is right now. And because it's not clean, you know, the will, the trust, the process, everything has been a little bit jumbly because of all the things that you have talked about. So I think it's really important to Google senior relocation specialist, senior realtor specialist, and find who you can use right here. Go to Keller Williams. Kathy Crouch is one that we've talked about. I think it's very important if you have a parent to arm yourself with this information. Now, on the flip side, for realtors out there who are wanting to move into this segment because of your compassion, like Renee was enticed because of her love and her compassion, then I definitely want you to, I encourage you to reach out to Renee. Her information will be on our website so that you can reach out to her if you need to send her a message with some questions on how to get started. If you're in the business right now and you want to get that certification, then ask your broker about it. And then to be able to help the people, you're going to need to set up a little bit of a different marketing tool set. Okay. So this isn't just about
selling a house.
This is not low hanging fruit.
It's not about sending cute emails out, and it's not about doing drips, and it's not about doing cute Facebook posts. This is serious business. And this is where I love to come in and tout the content marketing, because if you are serious about serving a niche like this, and there are others that you could serve, but if you're going to serve this one, then I believe that your blog content would be incredibly helpful. I believe that social media that's
focus toward aging mm-hmm. boomers is super important. And believe me, your mom and probably your grandma's on Facebook, okay?
Mm-hmm. They are.
You know, I wouldn't necessarily mess with TikTok right now if you're wanting to address this niche, but Facebook is definitely the mm-hmm. place to go. Run some ads, but get your content together, because all mm-hmm. the things that Renee's been talking about in your seminars mm-hmm. are things that could be put into a blog format.
Absolutely.
And they could be living out on your website, and you could be driving traffic there, which is going to help you not only build leads in the senior community, but build SEO and leads in general. Mm-hmm. So this is where I really think that blogging would be so important in that marketing arsenal that mm-hmm. you're putting together. It's not going to be something that's going to, like you said, low-hanging fruit that you're just going to reach up and grab, because people want to be informed and educated mm-hmm. if you're going to work in a situation like this. So anyway, that's my takeaway. Again, it was a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
Love your information. Mark, thanks for your expertise.
Well,
and
I'm just listening today.
I know. So you guys, we will see you next month. Thanks so much for joining us.
Ciao.
Bye.